Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the special times we live in. Maybe we can call it the cyber era. We attack, we defend. There are plenty of things in the cyber realm that connects us all, in the small global village that we live in that changes our day-to-day life. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Yael, please. Yeah, today we're talking about smart wars, different kinds of wars. If in the past we fought with swords, then tanks, then aircrafts, today we're fighting with keyboards. We see that in recent years, every once in a while there's some kind of attack, whether it's on governments, on hospitals, and many other facilities. And on this show, we'd like to understand, why is all this development taking place in our times? And what led us to the cyber warfare? We'd like to understand this phenomenon and open with the question, what does the transition into information warfare symbolize? What changed in humanity? Many things are changing in humanity. If in the past we used to fight for food, family, work, that will provide for our basic needs, then today this no longer exists. Among the younger generation, there are plenty of people that don't know what does it mean to work. They simply live their life. How is that? Because they're simply receiving what they think that they deserve, even though that they don't. If 100 years ago we watched Charlie Chaplin movies about how people fought for work, any kind of work, just in order to have a piece of bread to eat in the evening when you come back home to your family. Today, no one talks about that. What does it mean that there's no bread? Or not having a place to live, or what to wear. You have all of these things abundantly, even though that in the past 100 years, we quadrupled the world population. We're only 2 billion, and now we're almost 8. And so, there's nothing we can do. We don't need people to work in our times. And the word is that soon we'll have factories where there are no people at all. What will 8 billion people do? We have no idea. We're a very strange species on Earth because we exist without a purpose. We're not like animals. We always were like animals, only a bit more sophisticated, let's put it this way. And today, no more? So today there's no correlation between our exertion, the work that we do, the talents and skills that a person has and the way he lives his life. He simply lives his life, and that's that. And therefore, money is kind of losing its value. It doesn't matter if a person's some kind of a professional in a certain field. Anyone can live his life and survive even if he's not doing anything. It's something very strange, actually. The entire capitalistic, simple basis that existed from the beginning and to this day, that was always about productivity, what I can do, how much I can do. Today, there's no correlation between the two. It's unproportional. How much I work, I understand, I know, I do, I succeed, and what I'm paid for it. It still exists, but we see that soon it'll disappear altogether, and then we will have a world that lives off wet. If instead of workers, you'll have robots, what will we do with the workers? We'll have to give them some kind of a basic income. But the robots, who will they work for someone to buy it? So we won't only have to give those workers food and clothes, we'll have to give them money. For them to buy for the factories to work. And if the factories work, and so on. And this is going to be kind of an artificial cycle. And all this for what? So that the factory owners will have more money in the bank. What do they need more money in the bank for? Meaning it's all losing its value. If I have some kind of currency that others get for free, even though that they have a million times less than I do, then it's useless. And therefore, who'll own these factories? Who needs it? And therefore, the entire motto, the entire drive, the pressure, the goal for which I exist in order to succeed, to make it, to be more, it's all disappearing. Our ego, it's diverting us in the opposite direction, that it's not worthwhile working, that nothing's worthwhile. Fill your time with games, soccer, basketball, different foods, movies, and this is how you'll live your life, even without a family, without kids. Some drugs, and everything's going to be fine. How long can this last? It can last until our desire changes. Because it's all based on one thing, that is our desire that constantly changes. In the past, it used to grow. Our ego grew, and correspondingly we developed different kinds of industry, trade, family instead of a village, you built a city instead of a city, a country, and so on and so forth, and we truly yearned for it. Later on, our ego started demanding culture, education, different things. Then our ego started competing with everyone and so on. It was a very powerful engine that worked in all of us. And this way advanced all of human society. But now, no more. Now, it's no longer advancing us. It doesn't wanna? We don't wanna advance. What for? What do I have as a result? There are millions of people that are out of work, and they don't have to work, and it's a good thing that they don't wanna work, because there's no place to work. So what do you do about them? A liberal society can't kill people. It's not like in the past that there was a king, he sent them to war. Maybe half of them won't come back. Today, you can't do that anymore. And today's wars can be very problematic. Maybe we're creating some kind of a climate problem. But today, we can pretty much overcome all of these problems. Maybe some plagues. Who knows whether the person starting the plague won't be harmed himself. Meaning, these are really problematic matters. And therefore, humanity is really in a state where it doesn't know what to do. Okay, what I'd like to ask is, looking from the dawn of history into this day, the struggles between people, countries, it's something that always existed. It always accompanied our development in one way or another, like you said, that in the past a king sent his people to war and he knew that half won't come back. What's interesting today is to understand, what does it tell about us, the human species, that our wars are transitioning into a place where information is power. In the past, power was sticks and stones, then knives and swords, then more and more. Weapons were something physical, more and more sophisticated. Today, we're going into a realm where warfare, both attack and defense, is shifting into a realm of information. What does it mean about us? It's because we're operating all of our systems through computers. Then this is how we can harm different operating systems, information systems of each and every one, both individually, also against countries, worldwide. These are the implications. What I'm asking about is that if in the past we used to fight each other one-on-one without anything, but then too you had to know, what do I know, how do I fight, what is my attitude toward war, what did I learn? It was then that way too, only it wasn't electronical. Right, but if we look at it then as if the distance or the channel of information as power, as a force, is growing. What does it mean that information is a growing force? Because all of our weapons are becoming smarter. We are not fighting today in order to kill each other, because it's useless. The world is big, the world's open. It's not that in the past this was my border. Between us, there was a border. You wanted to move the border in my direction, and I wanted to move it in your direction. Today, there is no such thing. So what are people fighting for? Not even over control. Because today, in the new era, what we control by is by movies, news, media in general, different things. If I can give you or not give you raw materials, food, and everything, and you to me. Today, war is more, it's unclear. We're in a transitional phase, so today it's kind of a problem, because this belongs to yesterday and not to tomorrow. So we see that also the wars, they as if lose their intensity, their need. What do I gain as a result? I can go anywhere. My population crosses all borders, back and forth. I can buy anything. If there it's cheaper, then why do something someplace else? Today, suppose I'm a ruler in a certain country. What makes me a ruler? Today, it's all disappearing. So you're playing different battles of strength in your parliament, but that's it? Meaning, today, any position up to being a king, even though that today we don't really have kings, but it's losing its value. People are making fun of the Queen of England, Macron or Merkel, the same. They simply have a desire as if to determine something, but really, I don't see any use in a war, because in the modern world, with borders and everything, where everyone's dependent on everyone, you'll do this to me, I'll do that to you. The weapons are more in the hands of economy and supplies, and not in weapons. Weapons are used in order to simply develop something, have people work on something, but it's not that it's useful or beneficial. How many billions the Americans throw on weapons? 800 billions a year on defense, on army, and what do they have as a result? And the same with the Russians. And suppose the Americans will be weaker. What can the Russians do? They'll invade America? And then what? But for us, it's still something essential. It's something essential here because there is hate, and we're fighting a very primitive enemy that wants to throw us out of here and clear the area. They're willing to kill us and drown us in the sea. And in the free area, they want to build their khalifat, and therefore, there's a problem here. Is it essential in Europe? Wars? In Europe, a war is something essential only if they'll want to make the same khalifa there that they want to make here. Then Europe has a problem. But if not for that, then all the borders could be open. And there would be no problems between the countries and the different populations that pass from here to there. So it means something only if there is a physical threat. If there isn't, it's a kind of a game that at the time you don't see what is its goal besides the economical goals, which is a local engine. Also, economically wise, it doesn't have that much of a meaning. In Europe, there is a big problem. You can't solve it just by some one thing. If it's about economy, then it's related to education. If it's related to education, then it's related to politics, and so on and so forth. And there are different nations that have grudges against each other. And the main thing are the immigrants. So I want to ask about cyber warfare. In the past, it was clear who the enemy is, where is he, how does he attack me. Right. Now you're in a state where you could be attacked, and you don't know who exactly is attacking you, where is he, how exactly is he operating. Suppose he's stronger than I am. The uncertainty, what does it mean that our wars took on a motive of a hidden enemy, that you have no choice. You have no one to fight, but you have one problem. You can get rid of the threat only on condition that everyone will start treating each other favorably. Everyone meaning who? All of humanity. And what does it have to do with me not exactly knowing who to fight? Look at North Korea. Such a small country compared to the entire world. It's enough that they have 100 good hackers. They can destroy the entire world. Do you understand what we're talking about here? Meaning you have no choice. You are now in a state where you have to arrange the entire world. You can't start shutting down the entire world, all the computers, energy plants, airplanes, trains, it's all operated by computers. Hospitals, it's all operated by computers. Tremendous plants, sea vessels at sea, each and every moment. In the air, there are thousands of planes. By the push of a button, do you know what you can do? Push of one button. You know what comes to mind? Today they're developing autonomous cars. In the air, somehow you can get along. No, they won't know where everyone is. Yeah, but imagine the roads in 10 years that all the cars are autonomous, operated by computers. If you distort something there, everything comes to a stop. Yeah. Okay, so I feel the pressure, so I have another question. We just said that you don't exactly know who's your enemy. Of course you do. Human nature. Just a second before that. We said that because I don't exactly know who's attacking me, then eventually I have to treat everyone favorably because at any given moment anyone can go against me.
Right.
So today warfare is much more sophisticated, like with aircrafts and so on. Far beyond 20 or 100 years ago. What does it say about us that our warfare became so sophisticated? It means that tomorrow the ones that will be most sophisticated will control the world? And what does it mean to be sophisticated? I don't think that this is the problem. I think that the world, the problem of the world is that people can't connect with each other and therefore can't reach some general agreement. Who are we fighting? We can't decide what computer programs are good or bad. We can't operate in a way that every hacker knows that he's working against the entire world. That the entire world's against him. The problem is the connection between people. You're reaching a state where the world is round. Any person can harm the entire world, and therefore you have no choice. You have to reach a state that there will be no such people in the world, or the people that are controlling the world, like governments, scientists, and such, that they will be so much correctly connected between them that they will reach such agreements that no foreign factor will be able to break into these things, because today there's a fear that governments are doing it to each other. It's not simple. It's not just some little kid. We're told that some little kid orders pizza and cola someplace, he's sitting on his couch, and he distorts the world. It's not exactly so. This is also something I want to relate to, because there's something unbearable about this, whether it's a small child or a grown-up soldier, that you can push a button and you can destroy. I don't exactly think that it's this way. I'm not thinking in this direction at all. In the past, war took up lots of efforts. It demanded thousands and thousands of soldiers that had to cross vast distances. Years and lots of efforts. Later on, the effort became less and less meaningless, and today it seems that the effort is minimum. It's not physical. There's a shift from a vast physical effort to something very sharp, pinpointed. These are the times. What does it have to do with our desire? Of course, with our desire. If in the past it was the desires and the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, and then human beings, the speaking level, this is how we developed. The very same thing about human beings. In the past, we had a very crude desire that we fought each other with sticks and stones. Then we moved to more and more sophisticated weapons until we reached these kinds of weapons. Today we don't have to kill each other. Also, what's the use? Neutralize you, then I neutralize you. What does it mean that the desire became less crude, less physical? We're sophisticated. The desire, it became more subtle, sophisticated, goal-oriented. And the goal is control, to control. That's it. As simple as that. To control. What do all the armies exist for? What do all the countries and parliaments exist for? in order to control. But today, control is pointless. What do I have as a result of controlling your country? What am I going to do with it? The borders, they're open anyway. Trade, too. On the contrary, let's open everything, disperse everything. Meaning, only for the sake of the feeling of control, this is what I exist for. So you're saying it's only a feeling, it's not in practice. Yeah, in practice there's nothing left to do. It's only for the sake of the feeling of control. And where is this all headed? It's just in order to calm down my ego. Ah, I'm in control. And how much longer can we play this make-believe? It's a game. And this is how we play. I say that I'm in control. You're saying that you're in control. And this is how we are. You and me. Me and you. And we can go at it for a long time until this desire disappears from us and is exchanged for a new desire. What kind? Like in the past? Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. So what's on the horizon? On the horizon, after wealth, there's control. Wealth and control, they're interconnected. Honor and knowledge. We're already in the era of knowledge. No. This isn't knowledge. Knowledge, it means to know what the meaning of life is, that I'm advancing towards a state that this is what I'm living for, that I'm no longer dependent on people that much and my relations with them, but I want to attain more. I want to attain the meaning of creation, the meaning of life. I want to know, how does humanity work? How does the world work? The universe? Meaning, I'm no longer satisfied by controlling the people, but I want to understand how it all works. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. We have many more questions. In the meantime, what's the most important thing to take from this show? In the era of cyber warfare, cyber, I hope, the more it toys with us, the quicker we'll advance towards the purpose. We'll really understand how to rise above our life, above these games. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.